Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining us. I apologize for the delay, some technical issues, not even fully related to my internet for once on my end, but we do appreciate you spending the end of your Friday night with us, and we ask that you get in your super chats, get in your humper chats. If there's anything you want to talk about from tonight's show, it was a very, very medium show today, so you want to support us with some chats, please. Please do. We'll also remind you to subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Tons of scoop skis going up over there. Also, our home briefly while Fightful was down as we're doing some migration on the regular site. We've got, is this a shoot account? Do we really have SGW in the chat? That rules. Looking forward to Will Ospreay making his way down there, but sorry, Corey, thank you for assisting. But we've got a lot to dive into for tonight's SmackDown. Before we do, FightfulSelect.com, so much contract news going up. Natalya, Ricochet, Dijak, Chad Gable, Shane Haste, a personal favorite of mine who I think is drastically underrated. You guys know him as Slapjack, maybe, but my God, his ceiling is much, much, much higher than what he was given in his first WWE run. I'd like to see him back. I would like to see Shane wherever he deigns to go, because he is very entertaining, but a badass in the ring. So we will see more contract news on FightfulSelect.com and general news over there as well. MJF's return. So much to talk about, but we've got enough to talk about here on the SmackDown Review Show. I'm joined by Alex Cardoza as usual. Alex, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great. I'm happy to be here again on another exciting episode of Friday Night SmackDown. Even when it's not that exciting, at least we're here together.
It is true. We are here together. Get in those super chats and humper chats, Alex. I texted you in the middle of the week because I was like, we're both big crybabies. Your daughter
really
graduating
are.
Police Academy. My sister at 40 years old going back to get her degree. I couldn't be more proud of any single human being in my life.
Beautiful.
My goodness. So we were emotional on Wednesday. Tonight kind of chilled us out. This was not an eventful episode, but
we cried for other reasons.
We did. We cried some tears of boredom in this, but we moved along. We've got Clash at the Castle on the horizon. So the stories, you know, overall, it was kind of an uneventful night, but nothing that felt like it didn't make sense to me. Like everything kind of fell in line. It was just kind of predictable and a very talky episode. What did you think kind of overall tonight?
Yeah, it did not, for some reason, it did not feel like the SmackDown that we've been getting for the last couple months. Even certain little things that I realized, and we'll talk about it later, production style wise and whatnot, some key elements were missing. And I was like, all right, it's cool to take a break from them as well, because we don't want to overuse these tactics that they're using now on the show. But overall, it felt like it was missing a little something. I don't know what it was, but I mean, I could be wrong. I don't know.
You know, I think part of it is that we really don't see Cody in action outside of PLEs, because the PLE schedule is so eventful and he's very emotive in these segments, because I think he's trying to do his best as he is bridging gaps between these PLEs. But it doesn't feel like fighting champions on the show when he's not fighting on the show, right? So that was part of it for me for sure. But we've got some chats that have rolled in, and we thank you guys so much for the support. Kim Gray saying, getting ready for vacation and I'll miss all next week. Well, oh my goodness, have so much fun with your family. Wait.
You're going on vacation and you don't take us with you?
Yeah, your how Friday dare you night take time lovers off away. Damn it. Ugh. Y'all have a good one, and don't let the wrestling world burn down while I'm gone, okay? If I could control that, Sean would sleep much, much better. But Taylor saying, congratulations to your sister, Kate, and your daughter, Alexis, on their accomplishments. Well, thank you, Taylor.
Thank you so much. I cried like a baby. I cried on the 4 a.m. drive to the airport. I cried at the airport. I cried in the plane. I cried at the church. I cried after church. I mean, it was just, I was a mess.
I was a mess too. And I was surprised, because I was just so psyched for my sister. I was so happy for her. And then I was like, the whole time I was just,
I mean,
I was doing like the CEO dance there, but it was just tears. I was like, oh God.
I mean, listen, I'm a retired Marine. She's a brand new officer. Like, it's crazy. It's just crazy. You know, I put a little video up on Instagram. I'm about to start crying now. Because it's just like, I should have done it. I should have not put it. I should have not used that freaking, sound. I don't know why I did it, but it was just, I thought it was happy. And then I'm sitting there at the airport going, fuck.
Well, it is Men's Mental Health Awareness Day. We welcome the criers. We welcome the emotion. We love that. Drinking at Moe's with some happy news, too. We can just keep the happy news train going. That doesn't make me sad at all, but to my faves, it was a great week. Tonight was good at Collision Tomorrow, and my wife and I found out we'll be having our rainbow baby in January. My goodness. Let's
fucking go. He texted me and said, I got some good news. I'm not going to drop it till Friday. And I've known Moe's, drinking at Moe's, for a while. Like, I was on the show, great guy, and he's told me his story, heartbreaking but very, very diligent person, and very smart, and very him and his wife have gone through some trials and tribulations, so I'm extremely happy for them both, and I love you both, and I wish you nothing but the best. So keep us updated.
That is wonderful news. I love this. I love the way that we're kicking off this Friday night with happiness.
We made a baby. Well, not me and him, but yeah.
Look, I mean, I support whatever needs to happen to make things happen. But guys, if anybody is sending in Humper Chats, please message Louise. Streamlabs is being a little weird right now. You can, of course, just send in Super Chats. Humper Chats are great because we get to keep a little bit more of the money, but you can default to Super Chats today if you don't mind, to make Luis's life a little bit easier. My goodness. Well, let's get into some SmackDown. we both kind of had the same feeling tonight. I think that it was a little medium, but I can do medium episodes when they're medium episodes that make sense. There was a really long time where nothing on this brand was making sense. I think we know that, like, the Uncle Howdy stuff is coming down the mountain as well. So they're clearly not declared to any one brand because they were never drafted. So I think there's some wind in the sails around the corner. But this opens with a video recap of Cody from last week and AJ and the fake retirement angle that only Cody didn't see coming. And Wheezy Blonde, who I love. But what a mark Wheezy is. Just kidding.
Damn you, Wheezy.
She's wonderful. But she totally bit at this, and I love that for her. But that's kind of how we open, is just Cody angrily pacing. There's a lot of Cody Rhodes just emoting all over this episode. He's still angry like an hour later and still just pacing for so much of the show. I'm like, give this guy something to do other than we love men feeling their feelings. Like I said, it's Men's Mental Health Awareness Month. Like, we welcome that, but that's all he's doing as your world champion right now is being so mad that he got swerved a week ago. My goodness.
He's used the word swerve. Well, talking about WWE, be careful. We might get canceled for that.
Look, I don't swerve when I drive. I drive safely. Oh. So I think we're in the clear, but we move on to Paul Heyman, who speaks first at this anointment ceremony of the bloodline. He says, until Roman Reigns comes back, Solo Sikoa will sit at the head of the table. We get Solo getting booed. We get these We Want Roman chants continuing. This was really well played by Paul Heyman. He was kind of the standout in this segment. But we get these new names for Tama Tonga, the right-hand man, and the infamous Tangaloa. There's part of me that gets this because I do it on this show now. I'm realizing largely because I'm dyslexic, but I followed the New Japan product and I'm still like, Tama Tonga, Tangaloa, like the Tonga Tanga thing is can trip you up a little bit, especially with an audience that maybe isn't as aware. But Tama Tonga, the right hand man, and the infamous Tangaloa, like, I wouldn't,
it's still a mouthful. Hey, you know, like, if this is the way that they want to go, but I honestly, when as soon as I heard what they were doing, and when they, you know, as he's blurring it out, Paul Heyman, as I said, oh my god, they WWE'd their names, because that's what they do, and not in a bad way. I'm just saying, like, that's, you know, smart on their end because they get to keep the money. And, you know, and do the merch and all that good stuff. But they 100% WWE their names.
I don't know if Tangaloa is infamous. I don't know if that's what I would have chosen. But my bigger thing with this is, what happened to MFT? Like, that doesn't stand for anything anymore. And it just kind of went away. Like, was that supposed to stand for my family tree? Like, I don't know where that initialism went. These names were kind of long and weird. Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. I don't know.
With you. I don't know. There's some things that make sense that was not one of them. Sorry. I mean, I don't mean it in a bad way. It's just the fact that I don't understand it. And it's just, you made the name super duper long. Usually they cut names and make it easier. Birdo. Right? No more Umberto, no Berto, right?
Yeah, like, everybody's last names like go away.
Yeah, everyone's last names go away. But this one just didn't make any sense to me as to why they added something more to it. I don't know.
Guys, send in what your bloodline names would be.
Please, yeah. Mine would be Crybaby Tonga.
Tanga. Tanga. Infamous Crybaby Cardoza.
Infamous Crybaby.
I like it.
Yeah, I like that.
Crybaby Cardoza. I don't know what I would be. We'll let the chat decide.
That would come out to Justin Timberlake's Cry Me a River.
I'd be like Kate and the Bangalangs or something. I don't know.
Oh, I like that. The Bangalangs.
The bangs are over. We'll just keep rocking with them.
Your bangs will always be over. And you got to come out. She bangs.
It's coming out to Ricky Martin like 20 years after that song drops. So it's fucking
amazing.
But we get Solo Sikoa telling Haman that he should thank Tongaloa and Tamatanga for saving Haman from Kevin Owens last week. And Tonga says that they could have just let Owens kill Paul Heyman, but they saved him, which I liked, by orders of the tribal chief. So you're getting this continued dissension over who is the tribal chief, right? This is where we were expecting the story to go, but they're doing it with some subtlety, which I appreciate on that side of it. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, we got Owen's music hitting and he comes out. He kind of has control over all three of them for a minute, but the bloodline gets the upper hand and the Street Profits come out to support, to which I say, what happened to Randall Keith Owens? Where is Randy in all of this? But the bloodline retreat and we kind of leave that segment as that, but where's Randy Orton? Where's Bobby Lashley? We do get Paul Heyman shown backstage and we get this six man set up for later in the night. And Sikoa said if Heyman doesn't do it, Heyman will face Tamatanga in the locker room later. So some good continued intimidation there. This was really like, it's always a Paul Heyman showcase with these things, I find. But what did you think of the rest of the segment? I miss Randy Orton being a part of these.
I thought it was okay. You're right. I honestly thought that the Street Profits were gonna just kind of not show up. I don't know why in my head I thought maybe it could have been a Bobby Lashley that was gonna come and save them, or even come freaking Randy Orton. I don't know, maybe maybe they're trying to separate them, you know.
It's unless Bobby's healing up. I don't think he was like injured, but I think he might have been banged up from some spots in previous matches. But they also might be trying to separate them because they never really figured out what to do with them,
right,
which was kind of frustrating, especially because you sacrificed Cedric Alexander for mm-hmm. this. Like there were other people that were paired with Bobby Lashley who were great at what they did, and you sacrificed them at the behest of the Street Profits who didn't even really need it. But Will chiming in saying, I think Solo calling him the right-hand man is because that's what Roman used to call Jay, Solo trying to be Roman. I think that's true. I think there's the new bloodline has to mimic the old bloodline in structure. It's more the infamous Tongaloa part of it that really got me, because a lot of people were unaware of who he was when he showed up. You could certainly allude to his legacy in New Japan, and we're seeing Guerrillas of Destiny and all of these things get brought into the WWE ethos, but he's not even like a big gun in New Japan world, right, necessarily. So Infamous seemed a little bit heavy-handed, but Anthony Velasquez. Yeah, Anthony Velasquez saying, not interested in seeing Kevin Owens put over the bloodline for the 1,000th time, shakes my head. Yeah, I agree with you. The problem with Kevin Owens is he's incredible at his job.
Sure.
And sometimes when people are incredible at their job, Eddie Kingston ran into this problem for a long time in AEW. Like, you don't need a title to make things feel important because you're really great at this. And a lot of times that means they don't give you a title because you figured out a way to feel important without it. But it is going back to the same well a lot. I'm interested to see if Sami Zayn works his way back into the bloodline when Roman Reigns comes back, or what that looks like. We still haven't seen Jacob Fatu. I don't know what the holdup is there, but there are still more layers of this that are on the way. It just kind of feels like we're taking baby steps to get there. For sure.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, they're going to have something super planned. Should be coming real soon.
Agreed. Guys, get in those super chats. Humper chats are being a little bit weird tonight. So if you are just joining us and seeing the views crawl up, and we thank you so much for tuning in. Very much appreciated as you're spending your Friday night with us. And we head in to Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair defeating Indi Hartwell and Candice LeRae. Some good and bad here. This ends with Jade hitting a super kick on Indy Hartwell, but Candice LeRae breaking up the pin attempt. And then Bianca Belair getting rid of LeRae and the champs landing that cool tandem finisher that they have now to win. Post-match, we get the four women at ringside jumping Cargill and Belair. You had Shayna Baszler out there. You had the formerly spooky Scottish witches, now just standard babes of yore, I guess. Isla Dawn and the former Kaylee Ray, now Alba Fire. But she feels more like Kaylee Ray, so it's an interesting thing because Alba Fire was so specifically for the spooky Scottish witch gimmick that I want to call her that. But all four of them are on the attack until Jade and Belair return to the ring and take everybody out here. The good of this for me is that we're seeing the women's tag titles.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
Be made to feel important as they're being defended on PLEs again. Like, that was so absent for so long. The thing that I'm still struggling with is all of these matches are kind of feeling the same because I think they're still trying to get Jade acclimated of Bianca Belair does a ton of work and then Jade comes in for the finish kind of thing. And we waited so long to see Jade. I was kind of hoping we'd get something more expansive out of this, but understanding she's still newer, understanding that she's still learning the ecosystem a little bit here. Tag psychology is completely different from one-on-one psychology too. So I get it, but it does just feel like the match has become formulaic, and it's also kind of hard to believe either of these women are in peril and they're baby faces. They're both these strong, kick-ass women who I have a hard time believing anybody could beat, which they've gone out of their way to tell us. So believing that either of them are in peril is tough. Shayna Baszler definitely won to do it, but what did you think of our tag match? And later we do find out that we are getting this triple threat of Fire and Dawn, Baszler and Zoe Stark versus your tag champions at Clash at the Castle, which I think is good news all around.
Yeah, I mean, I got to see my spooky witches, so that makes me happy. I did not like the way that ended, by the way. I was extremely upset. You could have, I mean, WWE, that was disrespectful towards me. But anyway, I digress. Jade Cargill, Bianca Belair. What do I have to say about them? The fact that they are they're making the tag titles to seem really, really something special now with these two. And if this is going the way I think that it's going, where they're going to continue to put defenses up and make some incredible matches, I think that you can finally 15, 20 years from now say, wow, that was an insane run. Like, you know, we think about Demolition and we think about all these great tag teams, Road Dogg and Billy Gunn, like blah, 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 right? All these great. I think these two girls, man, these ladies have what it takes, unless they turn on each other, to really elevate the women in the tag team division. Like, everyone should be able to cling on to these two now and elevate themselves to that level. And the fact that we get to see, you know, now Shayna is incredible.
Shayna rules.
Oh my God. The other day, I who was it that told me? Oh shoot, I think it was Alex who told me how old she was, and I was just like, what?
Yeah.
I'm like, that's insane. How's she older than me?
Yeah.
You know, like, she doesn't look it, first of all. You know,
she doesn't move like it either. She's a badass in there. Yeah.
So I'm hoping that even if they don't win This elevates them to another level. They deserve it. So good, man. So good. I love seeing the women thrive.
You're right. This division has been picked up by this tag run so much, just from even the talent rotation that we're seeing. Tag matches, you get two women on TV instead of one, right? But on top of that, you're getting triple threats. You're getting defenses on PLEs. You love to see it there. Yeah. And speaking of PLEs, man, these PLEs are included. There was a lot of talk started by Bully Ray, okay, about PLEs versus pay-per-views. It was eating up the news cycle for the dumbest of reasons.
It's
but,
the same thing.
But we've got PLEs. We've got pay-per-views. They cost a lot. You're emptying your wallets, but there's a way to get things a little bit cheaper around these parts, and that's using the code Fightful with NordVPN.
I have long talked with you guys about the content that you can access with NordVPN.com/Fightful, but it doesn't just stop at pro wrestling. You can get MMA and boxing pay-per-views at a much more affordable price when you change your virtual location with just one click using NordVPN.com/Fightful. It doesn't stop there either. Football games. Man, if you want to check out those out-of-market football games, you don't have to spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars. You can get NordVPN.com/Fightful and just change your virtual location. How about baseball games? They make it harder than ever to actually watch baseball games. It is a task, not with NordVPN.com/Fightful. They got everything you need, in addition to all the threat protection and security that comes with NordVPN. But if you want that content, NordVPN.com/Fightful is right for you.
I was really digging that song, baby. Let's go. You're muted, Kate, but I definitely use NordVPN. And I got to tell you, ladies and gents, it is one of the greatest purchases I've made. I think I bought it for the next 6 years using the code Fightful.
You get a covered. Big discount for real.
Big discount. And if you like, no, I'm just kidding. I use it at the airport. I use it when I go out in public, in public spaces when I'm working. I use it when I shouldn't be doing things I should be doing. It is the greatest thing ever. And if I told you once, I'll tell you again. If you use it and you put your location as UK and you have Disney Plus, you get Hulu added for free.
That's what's up. You can travel anywhere in the world with NordVPN, and we appreciate their support. You really do. Out of all of the sponsors we have, Nord is one of the most supportive that we've ever had. And on top of that, it's one of the biggest discounts you'll ever get. So if you need a VPN, quite legitimately, Nord VPN is the way to go. This isn't a super chat, but I host the show, so I get to do what I want. And if you're going to talk about Shane Hayes, I'll bring it up, okay? He needs to stay in New Japan and help TMDK win all the gold. They only had 3 years to get that shit right. I would love for Shane to stay. I would love for TMDK to win gold. I would like to see those tag titles combined. But most importantly, I love Shane, and I hope that he gets paid to go wherever the heck he wants. And I hope he's happier than Cody Rhodes, who was fuming backstage again.
Wow.
He's so mad, Alex. And Nick Aldis walks over and tries to calm Cody down, but he is heated. We saw so many just emotional Cody segments in this. But that moves on to Sarah Schreiber, who's backstage with Apollo Crews. Nice to see Apollo Crews continuing to get some reps. Would love to see Odyssey Jones in the 2 years he's been called up from NXT get a rep at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Let's keep people front of mind. But he talks about how he starts to talk and is instantly jumped by Angel Umberto. And Legato runs in until officials break things up. And you get LA Knight, walking into frame and asking Aldis where the heck Logan Paul is once again. Aldis says that Paul was playing Tetris. And that fires LA Knight up in what is an extremely silly moment where he basically says, you can piece all these things together, make all these shapes, and it looks like my foot up his ass, which I appreciated. Then Carmelo Hayes walks in, and Aldis makes Knight versus Hayes a match for later in the show. That is cool, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit, but I feel like they both needed wins, but they did a good job protecting Carmelo a little bit later. So I think good things to come. Any thoughts on that promo? We could talk about the match in a little bit, but
it was good. I just, again, my poor Legado de Fantasma has just been, you know, just turned to whatever it is now. Just, I don't have any goddamn words.
It is tough. It is a bummer because you have, he feels like he should be, Santos Escobar specifically, feels like he should be in a title hunt, and it just is crowded right now. This is where something like Trios titles would help you out very much, right? Like, yeah. This is, they have so many stables where the guy that leads them feels like the big deal and the other people are just supporting cast. So it's not like you want them in the tag title picture because that leaves Santos out.
Sure.
So it's tough. It's tough. There was contract news that broke about Angel and Humberto. You can check FightfulSelect.com. Man, Sean is not at a shortage of contract news. There's like 8 free agents that are in the mix right now. There's going to be more from AEW coming up too. You guys know how AEW functions. They don't really fire people. They usually just kind of go on these release cycles for the most part. So you're going to be seeing some contract cycles come up. This is the first time since AEW's existence that they've had contract cycles come up at the same time, right? So there's going to be a lot of movement. And let me tell you, every single time your favorite goes somewhere else, it's a personal attack on you, and you should take it very, very personally. Well, saying, are we surprised how mad Cody is? He's facing a mad man who got on a plane for 20 hours with a chair to screw LA Knight. He is an infamous hater, AJ Styles is, but it's a week after the retirement angle happened, and it just feels like he is, to me, this means he's felt this way all week. You know what I mean? I feel like he's got a beautiful wife and a gorgeous daughter. Like, he should be able to have worked some of this out by now. But that's just me. That's just me. We move along to our Johnny Gargano and Grayson Waller match. This made me so happy because I like when I get to see Johnny Gargano wrestle. And I think Grayson Waller and Austin Theory are both very good in the ring. I'm starting to feel like the sum of the parts is not better than the parts on their own. The opposite of what you want of, like, the sum is greater than the whole of the parts. It's kind of the opposite right now. I really feel like Grayson Waller could be doing something more significant if he wasn't anchored, unfortunately, by Austin Theory. I know that sounds kind of weird, but it just feels like he's poised to break out, and Austin Theory just, they never repackaged him after that failed US title run. And I feel like it was working and now it's not. And this is what's in the tag title. So DIY winning at SummerSlam would make me very, very happy. But tonight I got to see Johnny Gargano wrestle, and that made me very, very happy right there. But Grayson Waller coming out with the win, as you would expect here. You got Gargano going for the splash, but Waller pulls Austin Theory into harm's way. So we're seeing that continued dissension, which is good. But Waller hitting his finisher on Gargano for the win here. Decent enough, kind of like a lot of other things on this, where you're like, it made sense. The in-ring was good. Felt very paint by numbers still, though, to me. But hey, I got to see Johnny Gargano wrestle. I'm a happy gal. What did you think of this match?
Yeah, same. I'm still waiting to see, you know, with A-Town Down Under still holding these titles. I'm assuming they're going to wait for a big pay-per-view for, you know, them to release. It's not just going to happen on SmackDown, but it's felt like slow paced to me. Very, very slow paced. And I would really love for them to break up and, you know, Theory to go on a wild, crazy, like, maybe for the U.S. belt again or whatever, you know, I don't know. But I would love for him to kind of branch off again. I like him as a singles competitor a lot, you know. When it comes to Gargano and Ciampa, I like them. I like what, you know, them as a tag team. they've just felt out of the shuffle for me for a while now. You know, after that whole stint where they were being called DX, you know, and I don't know why they're still using those graphics. If you notice, if you look closely, they're still using DX graphics in their freaking entrance. They haven't separated themselves
from that.
They're
on a different brand. Like, why are we still using those graphics?
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. I hope that it changes for them. I hope that something's coming their way. But they, too, have felt like the puzzle piece hasn't completely fit in when it comes to them, too, as a tag team right now at this moment.
I'm hoping that because SummerSlam is in Cleveland, we get a Gargano moment. And they deserve those titles. And the type of matches that they could put on are going to be higher quality than kind of... They're doing it well, so it's not disparaging to the performers. But this is chicken shit heel stuff, right? Like, this is lie, cheat, steal, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I think it would be refreshing for those titles to feel like they have a little bit more legitimacy to them. Especially when you've got The Miz and R-Truth doing whatever the hell they're doing on Raw, so... Agreed. Well, Cody continues to emote. That's what we get here. We get some wildly illogical things that happen in this, but it's a new era, so I guess it can't hold past crimes over the heads of people. But we get AJ Styles pulling up to this with the Good Brothers, and they had a whole angle where they split. And now they're all heels again. And the Good Brothers are also challenging for the NXT tag titles on Sunday. What the hell are they doing here? Go get ready for your tag. Why are you supporting AJ Styles? He kicked you to the curb. This makes no freaking sense. Drives me nuts. But we'll see. I guess they're not going to win on the PLE, which they basically just told us, which I figured was the case anyway. But I doubt they're going to be NXT tag champions and re-involved in this, which is maddening. But Cody calls out AJ Styles and says, get your ass to the ring right now. No security needed. AJ's remix theme hits. And he comes out with Gallows and Anderson. He wants a match at Clash in the Castle, and Cody says he's got it, but it's going to be an I Quit match. And Cody fights through the officials to kind of lunge at AJ, but the other officials stop Cody. Styles jumps at Cody and hits him. You get some mean mugging at the end of the segment. It was so much Cody feeling his feelings on this episode.
Oh, man.
Pharaoh needs to be an emotional support dog or something. This is a lot of feelings. He's really trying his best with stuff that has felt heatless, I think. But more and more, I feel like I'm starting to subscribe to the Pulaski feeling of they really haven't had a plan for Cody since he won. The plan was Cody wins, and then you say, okay, and then what?
Yep.
Doesn't feel like we've had much for him. And I really am so confused about what the WWE Bullet Club branch is doing. I love Gallows and Anderson, but what are we doing here? Make it make sense. And give Cody a therapist, man. He's in his feelings here.
I've said this for so long. I believe in therapy. It works for everyone. This is me talking in storyline now and in wrestling terms. But I don't think what he needed was a change in wrestling brands to go for a title. What he needed was a therapist to talk about everything that was going on in his life, his emotions, and his daddy issues. That's all I think that he needed. And, you know, that would have risen him and ascend him. But now, like you just mentioned, he's stuck. There hasn't really been any movement. This feud with AJ, and I apologize for jumping on top here, you know, this whole thing that happened backstage, it all seems a little bit rushed again. They're not, you know, we had so much time and story and innings and quarters and basketball periods with Roman that now with AJ's like, AJ's just punking him and he's mad and we're going to fight for it on Saturday.
I really think, and certainly you have to protect your champions just physically, but like, this is a mea culpa. This is totally for me. I like to see dudes beat each other up. And I like it when my champions beat people up. So I want Cody to beat people up on SmackDown and not just at PLE.
Yeah.
Because we have seen face-to-face, contract signing, face-to-face. Like, we never get to see Cody just fighting people on SmackDown. And I'm sure they're trying to spread his reps out because these PLEs are so on top of each other. Yeah. But, like, I feel like what sometimes Cody reads as inauthentic to me because the emotion is so high. And I feel like he'd be able to tone it down a little bit if we were seeing those stories play out on the show rather than him just trying to crank everything up to 11 to make us all feel something. Like, it's kind of having the backfiring effect. But we're not the only opinions in the room, right? When Cody said to AJ, I'm going to make you do what you should have done last week and say I quit, that did hurt me, says Will. So it feels like they're handcuffed because of the schedule, but it does feel like we didn't have much of a plan for Cody out the gate. I am glad that there's at least a story here instead of just like challenger.
Right.
Contract signing, contract signing. Like, at least they're running it back. And the match with AJ was so good that I'm looking forward to the rematch. Like, we just got to get there.
And it's hard, right? Because there, at no point are you going to feel like Cody's going to lose his title. As a wrestling fan, we've watched wrestling for so long that we know he's not going to lose his title. So it's kind of hard. And we love the fighting. We love the beating up of each other. We and I both agree on that. If you're going to fight, you're going to fight, right? But at the end of the day, like, when you're just throwing these things together, we just know Cody's not losing anytime soon. You know what I'm saying?
Alex, you're right about one thing. It is hard.
Oh, freak. like that SpongeBob meme. I am out.
Look, if it wasn't hard, they would need some help, is all I'm saying, Alex.
She's looking at me in the eyes, isn't she?
If Cody was just like some champion who was just all soft, you would.
My friends, you know we always care about your performance at Fightful, and we want to keep that performance at a main event level. And you can with Blue Chew and the code Fightful. The same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in a much more affordable option. Blue Chew is ready whenever you are or whenever you're not. Helps give you that extra motivation. That way you can make sure that your performance is at a championship level. You go online to BlueChew.com, and when approved by our online physicians, you get that confidence, you get that performance, and you get it shipped straight to your door. No awkward conversations with the doctor, no waiting in line at the pharmacy, all that stuff. You use that code Fightful, get your first shipment free. That's how confident that they are that they're going to make you confident. What do you have to lose? BlueChew.com and the code Fightful.
BlueChew.com, code Fightful. Give it up for Alex and the perfect segue he gave me. My God.
Thank you. That's what I'm here for, to give it to you.
Hey! And if you have trouble doing that, BlueChew.com, code Fightful is right there. But Jay Miller asking a great question. Does Cody need Arn Anderson again?
Man.
I would love that. I would love that idea.
Can I ask you a question, Kate? Do you think that would happen? Do you think they would bring that here? WWE is different now. They've been adapting a lot of the AEW characters, wrestlers. They've been bringing in their personas, their music, everything about them.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know, to the point where they're blurring the lines. When Ego showed up at NXT, like, oh my god, wasn't he just an AE? And chugga ducky quack quack, like he stopped them. So it's just so. I mean, it's Ethan Page is incredible, by the way. But anyway,
yeah,
it's cool. I think it's cool. I think it could work for them.
I think that would be really refreshing if Art Anderson entered the picture. Whether the Glock would make it, I don't know. I feel like that's probably going to have to... That is probably still under contract. The Glock is probably still under contract in AEW, is my guess. But you never know. Arn and his pieces, man, could hit. I love that idea. I would love for them to bring in Arn. It is different, right? Gorillas of Destiny got said on WWE television. That never would have happened even a year ago. So that I think would be great. And it would freshen up some things for Cody. It would make the tie-ins with his dad feel a little bit more authentic instead of as played out as we've seen them over the past couple years. So I'm all for that. I would love that idea. Yeah. I would love that idea. Guys, get in your super chats as we continue down the road here. We'll also take a moment to remind you to subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Some injury news that went up on the free tier is a bummer, specifically in Irish wrestling, that was brought to you by Corey Brennan. We've got NXT plans. I'm sure you're going to have your producers for SmackDown on Fightful Select tomorrow. Another pay-per-view weekend, man. We got an NXT PLE coming around the corner. I'm sure Corey will have some scoops there. It's a big one. It's a big one. Ethan Page is now in the title picture. We've got some good stuff happening in the women's division with the Jordan Grace crossover into NXT. Yeah. Really, really good stuff. And we thank Alex Cardoza for sitting in for me on Tuesday as well. Very much
double A, you know what I'm saying?
Love that for us. Love that for us. But we move along to LA Knight defeating Carmelo Hayes here. They did go out of their way to protect Carmelo Hayes in a lot of this. He continues to look good in big spots. Mm-hmm. I am glad to see he's kind of settled into a story with LA Knight, because I think he's coming after LA Knight. I think LA Knight's going to beat Logan Paul and Carmelo's going to be his first like feud out the gate. But they're jaw jockeying each other as soon as the bell rings. But this was fun. And you get a different finish here because LA Knight almost always wins with the BFT. You get Hayes rolling Knight up out of it, but then Knight able to roll up Hayes for the win. And post-match, Knight says he's going to bring SmackDown to Logan Paul. Really nice face buster from Carmelo Hayes in this too, that I thought looked good for a two a little bit earlier in this. But I felt like if you're going to have Carmelo lose, this is the way to do it. I hope LA Knight wins. He deserves gold. And I feel like Melo being like a real feud out of the gate would be something that's really, really fun to start. What did you think of what we got tonight?
Yeah, I liked it. Now here's what I don't get. When was the last time that we saw something like this where someone invaded someone's house? Was that AJ? Who did AJ invade? Or someone invaded AJ?
Yeah, because we thought there were Christmas decorations, right?
Yeah, who was that? LA Knight?
It was LA Knight, yeah.
Okay, so LA Knight just loves freaking showing up in people's houses and beating the shit out of them. Okay,
all right,
here we go.
Home Invader Knight, I'm in.
So I guess we're going to see LA Knight fly out to Puerto Rico and beat the crap out of the Paul brother here. But I don't know. I mean, I enjoyed it. Later on we have the promo. We'll talk about that. But I kind of like where this is going. Carmelo Hayes is like you mentioned, he is like the next coming of a great star, man. Yeah. Whatever it is that they have planned for him, I hope that it's big. Him and LA Knight could kill it.
Yeah.
I think they would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah. There were reports, I think it was WrestleGoat said that there's some kind of repositioning of Bron Breakker on Raw because they're realizing what he's capable of, how high his ceiling is. Carmelo and Bron were like the dudes in NXT for a while. And so to see them being better evaluated on the main roster is something that makes me very happy because they killed it. But some good stuff. Some good stuff. Again, predictable, like a lot of SmackDown was tonight, but sometimes predictable is the right call.
Sure.
You give me clean wins and losses, I'm a happy gal. So
you got Carmelo Hayes going after people that, you know, are meaningful to continue building his star power. And you got LA Knight trying to freaking home invade again. So let's go.
That's right. He's breaking into home.
It's just
this is new thing, I guess.
This is new gimmick. God.
Backstage, we get Tiffany Stratton talking to Nia Jax, saying that they should team up, which is not the best, not the worst. I think your mileage may vary on that, but Nia walks straight into Meechan, who again is in this NXT ladder match. Not sure what we're doing with this brand crossover, but throws a drink in Nia's face, and we get women brawling because bitches be brawling when drinks are thrown. That is like what the takeaway from the segment was. I hate when they do that. I hate when they make it feel like a Real Housewives episode, but I am not the queen of hate. Hey! I'm not the purveyor of hate. We've got the king of hate in the house, Alex Pawlowski.
It's my double A brother.
Alex, it feels like it's been 900 years because we didn't do a Collision post show. And I was out Tuesday. This is like the longest we've gone in a very long time.
Yeah.
I've missed you. How are you?
Alex and I agreed that you hate us and you wanted to be with your sister more than you wanted to be with us.
Yeah.
Like he said, I could even just show up on Tuesdays and talk NXT now and have fun. But you said F you to both of us. And I felt hurt, but you know.
It's aggressive and inaccurate, but.
Kim Gray is saying that I forgot the Sour Chat, and that's not true. I specifically held off on it until now, until I could do it with Kate, Kim. So Kim says, I'll be gone on a Disney cruise starting tomorrow. I'll miss you, you lovable sourpuss, while I'm gone all next week. So it's for Kate as well. This is she'll be gone all week, and so we'll miss Kim Gray all week.
We will.
Yes.
I wanted to do it with Kate. So there you go.
look, this is your title.
Yeah.
Hater in chief.
I'm the hater of the table.
H-I-C.
Kate, you're with me, right? You also hate I Quit matches, right? Like they
yes.
I mean, so like, it was a pretty good match. Backlash, AJ.
It was very good.
And Cody.
It was very good.
I feel like we didn't need a second one, and the second one didn't need to be an I Quit match. You know what I mean? Like, because Cody's definitely not going to say I quit. You know what I mean? Because these colors don't run. And when I say these colors, I mean the ones on his neck. He's definitely not going to quit. So this is a foregone conclusion of all foregone conclusions. Like if it was like maybe like oh my god, somehow AJ Styles got in a lucky shot and he's the champ again for a month before he wins it back or something. But like there's no chance that like he could like cheat and grab the ropes and somehow get a pinfall that's reversed a week later on SmackDown. Like Cody's not saying I quit, so this is a match that like just doesn't need. It's gonna be 32 minutes long. Like,
yeah,
Cody's the baby face. It's not like he's going to bring AJ's son who just graduated from high school out of the crowd and threaten him with a barbed wire baseball bat. That's not a thing Cody's going to do.
So no, like, but AJ could bring Liberty, Liberty, Liberty into it.
Cody will then have to sacrifice his own daughter because he's definitely not quitting while giving up the title. That's not a thing he's going to do. So you wouldn't do that. Like, so I, whatever.
Alex, I have to kick you off the show because I can't be upstaged. Alex Pawlowski is the star of Fightful. I still love Kate and Alexis, though.
Listen.
That's my sour.
A Tetris tournament? A goddamn Tetris tournament? That's where this guy is? Like, I mean, how much jet lag is there on a flight from Louisville to Los Angeles? Just show up to work, man. Just show up to work.
Well, I think we're supposed to not like him very much.
Well, kudos, because it's working.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm not going to say anything.
On Monday, after Alba Fire and Isla Dawn attacked, ruined that match, we knew in that very second we were getting a triple threat match
at
Clash at the Castle because the two women are Scottish. We knew that for a fact. Then they had to do this whole rigmarole with Indy and Candice. And then, like, both women decided to fly into Louisville, where they do not have to be, a day early before their travel starts. They decided to go in early to be there, to stand at ringside. They're a brand split. Never existed, but should.
Well, for title pictures, I'm more okay with it.
The titles float. The people who hold the titles float. The people who do not yet hold the titles should not float. But then we had to have a 45-second backstage interview with Byron Saxton, where Bianca and Jay just came out of an office and just said a thing that a graphic could show us in 5 seconds. Apparently, every second matters on SmackDown because they somehow have to fit 32 minutes and 43 seconds of mediocre wrestling into 2 hours. So if every second counts and you can't find a way to get Andrade on the program, so much so that you've got to make him your new speed champion, spoiler alert.
Come on, man. I was going to watch if that.
Wait, stop.
Did he need just to make this 45 seconds?
Who did you say became speed champion?
Andrade.
The man.
He didn't like his positioning on the card, and they said, we're going to give you the most important title that exists, and it's the one that we don't even let on television.
Wow.
Ricochet held that belt for 3 weeks. He never appeared on television wearing it.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to. That's why they said.
Anyway, I guess that's Fowler. I'm not sure how many that is, but it's weird. Mia Yim. Like, I was on board with Mia Yim somehow winning that ladder match and then feuding with Jada Parker over it and then losing it to Jada Parker that way. But now I can't have her win it. Because if she does, then on Friday next week, after becoming your first ever Women's North American Champion of NXT, or North Women's American. They say it differently.
Women's North American Champion.
But is it Women's NXT North American Champion or NXT Women's North American Champion? They say it differently. Anyway, being your inaugural champ of that thing, whatever it is, 4 days later, she's getting squashed by Nia Jax on SmackDown, and yeah. I can't have it. So apparently now I have to root for her to lose in the ladder match.
Well, you can just do whatever you want, because they did a whole thing where AJ and the Bullet Club split, and now they're just...
Oh, AJ slapped Carl Anderson in the face.
Yeah, and now they're just like, we ride.
Now they're cool. Like, and here's what I want to know. Were they in on it last week, or were they just as surprised as we were?
I don't know, but Cody had a lot of feelings about it today.
Cody was very angry. I think Cody was the most angry because he's the only one in the world who didn't see it coming.
Yeah.
He feels really embarrassed about being such a dumb.
Also, was pacing backstage multiple times.
If the Good Brothers win on Sunday, will they wear the NXT tag team title belts to the ring at Clash at the Castle?
Bro, when they rack up
AJ Styles? If you're on NXT, you're on NXT. End of statement, period.
Well, especially if you were a champion. That's my other bigger thing is like, I mean, if you're a champ, work the brand that you're a champ.
Yeah.
But that's where I'm at.
Women's North American champion. Okay, good.
That makes sense because that's what they say with the men, right? NXT Men's North American champion.
I still like North Women's American.
North Women's. What are we like doing? The women have to be North American.
Yeah.
You can't. I mean, that's it. You have.
Honestly. All right. Cool.
Hey, if you like that sourness, we got plenty of it coming up for you on Sunday. Alex and I will be reviewing the NXT PLE OMG.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
On the main channel. You don't even have to subscribe there.
You should anyway, because then you'll get me angry and with Kate on Monday about Raw, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. So that's good.
I love that.
Yeah. Get sour with us all the time. Fightful Select, but also tune in for the PLE post show on Sunday. It'll be a good time. We're going to have some fun.
It will.
Because Ethan Page is here.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Also, don't what people who are speaking with an accent.
We're just going to talk about that.
Don't do that. Just as a don't what people at all. But especially if it's because you think they talk funny.
Yeah, it's very annoying.
Do better, Louisville.
Yeah. It's because Sean wasn't there to keep
Sean, yeah, I was supposed to say, yeah.
You get angry at people that pronounce your whole name. Your name is Louisville, and you get angry at people who don't pronounce it Louisville. You're not a... What are you, Level Up?
I was just going to say, that's what we pronounce Level Up. Are you
the developmental show of a developmental show? You're out here whatting people for talking with an accent. I'm so mad, I'm just going to leave.
I did appreciate Piper Niven saying, inbred say what, as a response to that. That was pretty good. But we were just going to segue into that segment. Thank you to Alex Pulaski for giving us that. Yeah, we will take it, but we have... a very obnoxious crowd, as he alluded to, but Bailey barely getting a word in before she's interrupted by the delightfully obnoxious Chelsea Green and Piper Niven. And Chelsea has the mic and says, Bailey talks a big game for being a big loser. And then she calls the fans losers, which she was right about that because they were disrespectful as hell during the segment.
Mm-hmm.
But you have Green saying, Bailey was a loser in Saudi Arabia and a loser last week, and she'll be a loser when Little Miss P finishes her, which I thought was lovely. Mm-hmm. And Bailey mocks Chelsea for being Piper's mouthpiece and says that she respects Piper and that Piper doesn't need Chelsea. And you have a Bailey saying she appreciated Niven ever since she saw her in the Mae Young Classic. If you look at the Mae Young Classic, the fruit that was bared at that tournament, there's some incredible tournament talent that came out of that. But Bailey says it'll mean everything to Niven, and she knows how that feels because she has lost in front of everybody that she's loved before, which I liked. And Niven grabs the microphone, and that's when this crowd goes into business for themselves. And it's very obnoxious, but she says she's going to beat the hell out of Bailey in her home country. And that she's won titles in the UK, Europe, and Japan. She was a world champion before she even stepped through the door in WWE. And that she will stand over Bailey as the new champion at Clash at the Castle. And then we get a stare down. So I'm so happy because Piper Niven is legitimately excellent. And I'm very happy she gets to have this moment. This was built out just fine. The crowd was obnoxious about it. Wasn't the world's strongest promo, but it certainly wasn't so bad. It deserved this level of disrespect, in my opinion, at all. But some good stuff. It's also going to be a different type of match for Bailey because we haven't really seen her face Piper before. So I'm excited because I think Piper is capable of a lot more. And Nia's doing the best work of her career. So I don't mean this disrespectfully, but Piper has a bit stronger of a move set and can move a little bit better than Nia has historically. So what were your thoughts on this segment? And is this how Louisville acts when Sean Rossap is not around to keep them in check? Because
very, very disrespectful by the people who follow Sean there. I know he's like next in line to be mayor. I don't know. Something's happening down there. From what I hear, my sources are telling me my own things. They were for the government. And when he's not around, people act up. They act a fool. But anyway, Piper Niven, well-deserved, you know, that she's going to get the spot here at her home country now. And I've always said it, man. She was to me, like, a badass, you know, before. They kind of played around with her a little bit, which, you know, with everything that was, you know, happening with her and her pairings, I want to say.
Yeah.
who was it? Eva?
Eva Marie, yeah.
Eva, yeah. I mean, Jesus Christ.
It was bad. It was
So I'm extremely happy to see where she goes to now. I think that this pairing with Chelsea Green, Chelsea kind of being a mouthpiece and just kind of going off sometimes, like yapping and bitching just like being a dick to people. I think I love that. And while having Piper just kind of be there to be like, yeah, what she said, and then beat the crap out of people is great. I'm hoping to see a lot more Piper Niven and her star power to rise and hopefully see the company put a little bit of the machine behind her. We've seen them do that with some new people that have just came into the company.
Yeah.
And it's always good when they kind of go roll it back and kind of give those that have been working, like she says, since 2017. That's a long time, my friends.
That's
pre-pandemic. We used to live a free, fruitful life without, you know, crazy things happening around us. And then, you know, like things changed, and I'm still waiting for her to get her comings, you know?
Yeah, I think this will be the most productive feud of her career in WWE, which is good. And I'm also happy that Clash at the Castle, they seem to be prioritizing putting Scottish talent on the card more than we've seen with Australia and with France, right? So, and with a plan, it wasn't like, you're Scottish. Like, there's been story building out, and that's good. It means they're listening, because I think a lot of us have had complaints about that. So,
yeah,
some good stuff there. That leads to our main event segment and match here, where we have the six-man that got set up earlier in the night, and man, they are pushing the hell out of this Bloodline Wolfpack thing, huh? My goodness, I feel like they need to get it into gear a little bit more, but this was a fun match and kind of went as expected. You do have Tama Tonga taking a lot of losses very early in his stints, and I get how it supports the bigger picture, but they got to have some just random wins for him to pick up, I think, because all of the notable stuff he's done has been losses, like in the King of the Ring tournament, etc., things like that. So I would, if I had Tama Tonga in my employ, less grunting, more winning, because
less grunting.
And before the freaking idiots come, he made sounds in New Japan. He did not sound like Stitch from Lilo and Stitch.
You are 100%.
He grunted in Japan. It sounded like when like people would grunt during like tennis matches or like in the heat of battle. This stuff is over the top and weird. But you got Kevin Owens landing a swanton on Solo Sikoa and going for the stunner, but Sikoa blocking it. We get some super kicks back and forth and a clothesline from Sikoa onto Owens. Go get Solo going for a Samoan spike at the end here, but Owens ducks that and delivers a stunner. So I love the trading of finishers there.
Yep.
But during the pin, Owens is pulled outside by Tonga and Loa, and everything breaks down, and we, of course, get a DQ finish. Match is over. Bloodline continues beating up on the Street Profits a little bit, and Sikoa spears forward, which looked really, really nasty. But you have the Bloodline powerbombing Kevin Owens through the commentary table to stand tall. And it just doesn't feel like the Street Profits and Kevin Owens are actually a unit. So this is a little weird.
Correct.
But this is, again, paint by numbers, kind of how you would expect things to go. I don't like DQ finishes. I like wins and losses, but this one makes sense. So if you're going to do them, at least have them make sense to me. So I'll take it. What did you think of our main event here?
Yeah, I didn't mind it. But again, like you just mentioned, the episode felt like it was missing something. And even as I was watching this whole match play out, you just knew something bad was going to happen, in the sense that, you know, there was going to be a lot of outside play, or something was going to, you know, some type of old, you know, oh, I say old school, but some type of old ways of Bloodline working their business in the ring happens, right? Someone gets hit with a chair, something, you know, someone interferes, blah, blah, blah. And it seems like this version of the Bloodline is, their story's really cool. Like, outside of the ring, I love their banter with the Wise Man. I love the way that they talk. I like the way that they present themselves. But in the ring, it's still not clicking for me, just because there's obviously, you know, just starting to get out there as a trio and whatnot. I don't know why Kevin Owens is with the Street Profits still. We mentioned this weeks ago when the Street Profits ran in to help him. I'm still like, wait.
Why? Yeah.
I don't want to sound like these dudes on the internet that say, where's the story? But where is the story on this? What made them decide to jump in here?
They don't have the titles. Like, neither team has the tag titles. This is very weird that they suddenly picked
up. I would have been more comfortable with having Randy, and it's hard because, you know, you just don't want to throw Randy in everything now because he just came back from an injury, but having Randy and him kind of get beat up all the time by the Bloodline.
Sure.
Right. And then just having perhaps someone, a missing piece, join them somehow. I don't know what that missing piece could be, but we can work ourselves there.
Sure.
You know, but right now it just seems like it's lacking something. And I'm hoping that we were able to get that, because, like I mentioned before, everything's felt a little bit off for SmackDown. I don't know what it is. I don't know.
It's just you look at everything and you go, yeah, that's what I expected. Like, there's not a lot of excitement or energy. I do like your point, though, of kind of like the OG Bloodline felt extremely methodical.
Yo, for real.
And this Bloodline feels like unpredictable violence, where even Paul Heyman is scared of them. So I appreciate that there is a juxtaposition in that. But
yes,
some more chats that came in from Will, who's so supportive of us tonight, saying, it really hurt Piper when the man who we will not say the name of named her Dewdrop and put her with Eva Marie. Yes, that was a failed run during the pandemic. That was brutal. Yeah. But one of the first super chats that I ever sent before I started working here was to Sean. And I said, what are they doing? Spelled like Dewdrop. And so that always holds a dear place in my heart, that the first $5 I ever spent here at Fightful was on a chat that said this. But Will also saying that pop for Roman when he comes back is going to be crazy. So now Solo, I don't know what the rest is, this is supposed to say. I think that his moveset, he kind of likes the trolling of it. Yeah, there is some trolling going on here, and I think it's going to feel like Solo gets a huge promotion from a place on the card standpoint when Roman comes back. So I'm into that. Jasmine pointing this out, that it kind of came from the interference of the King of the Ring tournament. I'm kind of like, why did the King of the Ring tournament have that interference? You know what I mean? Like, it's a little bit tricky. It's a little bit tricky there, but your collision or your rampage rundown, excuse me, from Luis, we appreciate you providing that for us. You had Penta with Alex Abrahantes defeating the Butcher. You had the Learning Tree coming to the ringside to congratulate Matt Menard on his AW Rampage work, and Keith telling Menard not to disrespect Jericho. God, that sounds like every other Jericho faction I've ever seen. The Acclaimed with Daddy Ass defeating Hunter Gray and Parviz for some reason. Please break them up. Shane Taylor Promotions cutting a backstage promo calling out Action Andretti and Top Flight. Are they a tag team or a trio? This is like a messy little Rampage. And Gates of Agony defeating Private Party, which that match probably ruled, I would guess. There's a video package titled Picture of a Champion promoting the match between Toni Storm and Lady Frost. Lady Frost, a Northeast standout, who I have a lot of love for and adore who she is as a person and her wrestling. So excited that she gets that spot. You got the Bang Bang Gang defeating Caleb Crush, Chris Wilde, and Thomas Payne. Very nice that Juice Robinson is back. And after the match, Jay White named Juice Robinson as a trios champion via the Freebird rule. I like where that might be going. And Mina Shirakawa defeating Serena Deeb. The chat was talking about that being an outstanding match. I saw some brief Twitter notes saying very similar, that that women's match absolutely tore it down. So
yeah,
that makes me very, very happy. So that was your Rampage rundown. Thank you guys for sticking around. Some confirmation here from Second Lieutenant Colonel Photo saying Deeb versus Mina ruled, and after with Mariah May, man, everybody, and rightfully so, has been so excited about Deonna and Mercedes coming over. Mariah May has done nothing but deliver since she's come over, and it makes me very, very happy. Jasmine closing us out saying, I love you guys, but Alexis is a Cowboys fan, and Kate said that my generation has already failed. What did I say? I'm sorry. Love you guys, though. All right. You can put them away.
Those are Super Bowl rings, baby.
I'm with you on the not liking the Cowboys part, Jasmine. I hope I redeem myself there. But we appreciate your support. Wow. We appreciate the support that we've gotten all night. And as Alex puts away his Cowboy rings, he's going to pull out the plugs and tell you where you can find him.
You can find me at onlyclavicles.com. No, just kidding. I haven't started that one yet, but I did buy it. You can find me on Instagram at Alexis Cardoza and on Threads, Alexis Cardoza. You can find me still messing around on the Twitter at _ Alexis Cardoza, where I like to really, really upset people sometimes with my questions, like, who is Sexy Red? I don't know. It's just I'm literally asking a question. Why are you people so upset? I want to thank you guys for always supporting me and everything that I do as well. You just continue to make my little nerd heart happy.
Oh, that's what we're here to do. And you guys can find me at Miss Kate Fabe on social media. You can catch me at Excite Wrestling on Sunday. You can tune in. I don't know if we're on our Twitch or if we're going to be on IWTV, but our champion was Ethan Page, so guess what? Some plans changed.
Damn.
Vacated title, so there's going to be some fun stuff happening. We got Joey Janela showing up at Excite Wrestling as well on Sunday. Nice. You can catch me here on Fightful every Monday and Saturday, usually on Fightful Select. You can catch us being sour, me and Alex Pulowski. You'll also have us on Sunday this week after Excite Wrestling talking about this NXT PLE. Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays here on the main channel doing your NXT ROH post show, now joined by SP3, and right here on SmackDown on Wednesdays at the Mark Order talking all things All Elite. So thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate you. Reminder to subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. A lot of news coming up.
Lots.
Have a safe and wonderful wrestling weekend. We'll see you next week.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.